Welcome to another episode of Mindset Makeovers. I'm very excited today because this is the first time I'm doing like live at my set, which is literally at my kitchen with two of my friends. Today I have Xinyi here. Some of you might be rather familiar with her if you actually watched season one. Wonders of Food and Children. That's been a long time. And she's the founder of Kitchen Society, and she is also a mother of two. And I also have Serena here today. She is multi-talented. She's a senior editor in CHC, writes well, and she also sings very well. So today our topic is about why husbands cheat. So recently there is actually a lot of ladies that came out on mother's group that sharing that their husbands are cheating. And so my first question is, why do you think so husbands cheat? Like, what could have caused it? Do you think so is because the relationship is not so good anymore? It's boring? Because a lot of them, they are mothers. And usually it happens when after you have children. So what do you think about this? Do you think so because of children and we just drift apart as couples?
So you're asking me, right?
I think
usually the reason for cheating, I would say commonly, is really because needs are not met. So let's say if it's the husband, then the husband's needs are not met. But that saying, I don't think it is also pertaining to husbands only. I think if the wife's needs have gone unmet for a prolonged period of time, there would also be an equal tendency for the wife to cheat or to stray.
I was also thinking about that point whereby it's actually mutual. It's not just the men that cheat, it's also the women. And aside from needs, I mean, I think when you talk about needs, we are talking about not just sexual needs, but other needs like fulfillment, even affection and things like that. When these things are not present in the marriage, I think there's something lacking, and that could lead to straying.
So specifically to a man, right?
Right.
Do you think so that usually their needs is like more like intimacy?
I think for me, yes. I think for a man, sexual need is something quite high on top of their list. And affirmation, I would say.
Yes, I agree. So for the men, maybe it is there's a higher tendency for them to stray, to cheat, maybe because of how they're wired, that physical needs are just the way they are. You know, I mean, physical needs are very high, you know, on the chart, like what Serena said. But then again, many men, they also choose to put their affection in someone else because of emotional needs.
Yes.
Right? And I think I think maybe the best way to understand the best way to understand why a man cheats is to ask the man, right? And so I have asked my husband this question before.
You asked him why do men cheat?
Oh, like, okay. What are the reasons, you know, what's the motivation, you know, for men to cheat? And I think he gave me a simple scenario where the husband, who usually goes out to work, you know, comes back from home and after a hard day's work, just want to come back home, right? And find a place of refuge. But instead of coming back to a loving wife, he comes back and then the first thing the wife does is to either bark at him.
Have you washed your dishes?
Or tell him what he has not done.
Mm-hmm.
Or say something that is that sounds very impatient, that shows her frustration and her dissatisfaction with him. And I think this really does nothing to his ego, and he would feel, maybe he would not retaliate, you know, but maybe over a prolonged period of time, coming home is not such a great thing anymore. And then he always tells me, but what if on the very same day he comes home and this happens, he recalled that during the day, there was some woman out there in the work space who actually complimented him or said, used a kind word on him, and just made him feel good, you know, innocently, right? Not that she was trying to seduce him or what. And this kind of thoughts, this kind of thing will make a man start to, you know, veer his heart away from the marriage. And so I think when he sort of like described this to me, I think it kind of gave me a sneak into
so did it change the so did it think. Change the way you talk to him?
Well, definitely it, you know, it brings a some consciousness
like ding.
To what we must say. But actually he does regularly remind me, please use kind words. It matters a lot. So sometimes I will think that, well, we've been married for so long, and I mean, you know that when I say something, I'm nothing against you, right? It is just my expression at that point of time. But he will say, but still it matters because of the tone of your voice. It affects me and it shuts me off.
I have to say it is rather common, because even for me, because we have three young children, right? It's rather difficult at that point in time when three young children, they are like talking, asking for something, and then you still have to talk to your spouse lovingly. I think that is like a huge struggle in itself. And I also can see that, like, if I don't talk to my husband well, that means I scold him or whatever, right? It actually does strain on our relationship. And it's not like you can see it on the spot, but it's just by and by, like maybe after a year or so, then you realize that you feel, that's when I feel like people say, oh, suddenly we are just falling out of love, right? But it was just from that whatever day where you were talking about some stuff and you were like not nice to I would say I was not nice to him in my tone, because I just always sound so clever. Then that probably hurt him as well, because he was like innocently like, what have I done wrong? And usually I feel like men are rather clueless to some extent. What do you think, Serena?
Something which I... Okay, no marriage is perfect, right? Every marriage, after how many decades, you would have gone through your ups and downs. So of course my marriage, there was a period of time when everything was like really rock bottom. But I think one of the days I just woke up and realized something, you know, that hypothetically, if I knew 2 weeks later my husband is going to be meeting a woman that is attractive, speaks, you know, kindly to him and gives him good vibes, if I knew this 2 weeks later, what will I change in me now? Well, how will I change in the way I talk to him, in the way I respond to him, if I knew 2 weeks later he's going to be meeting somebody? So of course, you know, if I can see into the future, that's what's going to happen. I would definitely change things now. Mm-hmm. So this is an exercise that I do, actually. I ask myself, you know, if down the road, if you can change something so that, you know, down the road he's not attracted to this woman, would you change? Of course I would change, because you don't want that to happen, right? So if you don't want that to happen, you jolly well change your surrounding, change what you're doing now to prevent that from ever happening. So I think that helps. If every woman can think this way, or give yourself, like, maybe just to give this hypothetical scenario, I think we would change. Would you? Wouldn't you? Like, you know, if you knew you could see that 2 weeks later something's gonna happen.
I think it depends on how pissed I am.
But the thing is, it hasn't happened yet. So why are you pissed?
So
it's like, you know, in the future, if it's going to happen, what will you change today? I would change the way I talk. I would probably show more affection. Are you recording this?
Yes.
Okay. So if in the future, you know it's going to happen, what will you change today? I think I will probably change the way I talk, change the way I respond, and probably show more affection. You know, not because I don't want that future to happen, but because actually everything that you do makes a difference. There's only two of you. How you behave affects him, how he behaves affects you. So it takes two hands to clap.
So having said that, just a curious question. Do you think so the outlook of a wife can change some levels of narrative, whether a man cheats or not. In other words, like if you look stunning, you have an amazing figure. Do you think so that would change? Because since you always say a man rather superficial, right? To some extent, to some extent, okay, don't be offended.
They have superficial needs, they do.
Yeah, yes. Okay. So, do you think so that would change the narrative?
Probably not completely, but of course it does help. I mean, right? Men and women in general, we are quite general.
Yes. I think for sure, yes. So I think what we have touched on in the beginning is really about maybe emotional needs, you know, and words. But definitely the physical appearance matters. So if he comes home and you're always looking not so great, then of course you are not attractive in that aspect for him on that day. So I think, by that saying, I think there are realities in life where the woman needs to maybe cook, do housework, look a little bit unglam at home. So I think if it is balanced with like occasional other occasions where she dresses up when she goes out, or especially with him and all that, I feel that shouldn't be an issue.
Okay, so if an attractive woman walked by, right, would you feel like more conscious about like, say, look, how should I say it? The appearance is, say, nicer than you lah, for lack of words, okay? No offense, respectfully I say this. Would you, walking past you and your husband at the same time, would you feel a little bit like uncomfortable?
I think I don't even need to be with my husband. I think connection, intimacy, if a husband has that with his wife, connection and intimacy, we all admire beauty. I will also give two looks to another girl, for example, if she looks good. I want more men.
Yes, I agree that I think while we think that men are like really shallow, you know, they are very attracted by looks and all that. But I think generally a normal man who already set out to be committed to the marriage, they will not be so easily swayed by the looks if the emotional connection is in place.
Yeah.
I think this part will only come forth if he's already feeling very empty inside. Then this maybe becomes a trigger, you know. That's what I think too. Yeah. We often joke, I mean, if I'm with my husband, we will often look, I mean, when we watch TV, you know, when somebody walks past, I usually do make it a point to ask, wow, you know, that girl's so pretty, right? You know? And
when you say that, right, were you expecting something from him? To see whether you agree?
No,
or
I genuinely think she's good.
Oh, you
want
to have a discussion.
I'm attracted, like what Serena said. Okay, I don't say that about a guy, you know what I mean? But sometimes,
why would you not say that about
okay, sometimes
guy,
like, I do, yeah.
Handsome,
and
right?
Sometimes I do, yeah, sometimes I do. I mean, just jokingly. But I mean, when I say it, I honestly mean it. And I just want to see what his reaction is. Yeah, but different men do different things, right? So if I say the guy is attractive, sometimes, you know, my husband will say, oh, yeah, okay, but looks like gay, you know?
So when you ask pretty, right, this, actually, you're also looking for, like, to see whether you were like, yeah, pretty. Like that, right?
No, entrapment? No, right?
No. That was
God
not
knows
my intention. I guess different men respond differently, but he would never agree with me that the girl is pretty.
Of course lah!
No, and even if I see a guy outside, I will also never tell him that this guy is attractive. I'll be asking for trouble. The whole day, he'll be asking me very insecure questions. So I think there are some things that you just should not do if your partner, you know, by experience, yes, if he's sensitive to things like this,
yes,
then don't do it. Like, well, yes. Why do you want to create another issue in your marriage?
Yeah, so it's up to you, you know, what
so,
you know.
So,
what you
so say in the context of some women, they are saying that, oh, my husband is always like looking at another girl.
Right.
So in this case, are we advising the husbands that just do it when your wife is not around?
I've
If the husband always do it, see? Then maybe the husband is really just more sensitive to what he sees, and there's pretty nothing much you can do to avoid that.
I think it depends on the length you look at it.
No, also what is he thinking when he looks at another woman? You know, if I look at another man, okay, good looking, but I know I'm going home to somebody I love. This is just a stranger to me, a good looking stranger, you know. But so what goes through the person's mind when they are looking at somebody else other than their spouse? So that is the key thing, you see. If he is being attracted to that person, then maybe there is something that the wife is not giving him in that sense. Or, yeah, because looking at somebody is not an issue.
Yes.
Until it becomes an issue.
Until it leads him to other thoughts.
Mm.
So you wouldn't know, right?
Yeah, so I think that's when maybe there must be some form of honesty in the conversations.
Mm.
You know, if the wife tends to notice that,
yeah,
then she could bring it up.
Yeah.
You know, not in an angry way,
mm,
but she could check. And of course, the first thing the wife does is maybe reflect upon herself.
Yes, yes, yes.
And perhaps the husband is more, like I said, more inclined. Then maybe for this wife, she has to take care a little bit more.
No, and also the husband, if he knows, if she voices that out to him, he should also be mindful not to agitate the wife in that way, right? Like to look at other women, because you know your spouse doesn't like it, then don't do it.
So can we say that infidelity will happen based on two things? Emotional connection and meaning physical intimacy,
yeah,
needs,
I would say.
Yeah, and definitely a lack of communication.
So do you think so it causes men to be more sian, per se, because now they have children and they are not having as much fun anymore?
I don't think men are looking for fun when family men are looking for fun. I think they're looking more for fulfillment, respect.
In the family?
From the wife. Mm.
And the family, yes.
Yeah, because we don't want to paint a picture of a man who just wants to keep going out with his buddies. No, I think most men, or maybe it's a good percentage of men, really do want to come home, spend time with the family, spend time with the kids, have fun as a family, find fulfillment in that, being respected by the wife, being respected by the children. I think that's what most family men want.
So when you say fulfillment, what is the kind of fulfillment you're referring to that you think a husband is looking for?
Respect. Affirmation.
To be respected means to be fulfilled?
It is fulfilling to feel respected. To be affirmed that I'm doing a good job taking care of the family.
Yep, totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is most men, if they have already set their minds to get into a marriage, set their minds to have children, to start a family, I think typically this will be a thing that they're looking for, and I don't think they will constantly be thinking about going back to their bachelor's life and all that. Yeah. So I think, like we said initially, then the fulfillment in the marriage, you know, emotional, physical, as well as communicatively, must be there.
Mm.
And if that's in place, then I also don't think he has so much time to think about, wanting to be a bachelor again. I think many men who tend towards that is really because there's a lot of silence at home. You know, there's just non-communicative at home. So they have to go look for their buddies to drink and talk and all that. Seriously, if you come home, you know, and you have a good conversation, you have the kids to talk to, by the end of the day, you're kind of tired already. There's no more energy for you, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So would you ever consider, if you imagine yourself in this pair of shoes, to have a divorce if you realize that your husband is cheating on you?
I think it has to depend on circumstances.
Mm. So under what circumstances would...
If it is recurrent all the time, there is no change, I think it is... I have seen marriages that have gone through third parties, infidelity, but they still come back and there is real repentance on the part of the person that strayed, and they really work hard to make that marriage work. I've seen many successful cases.
Yeah.
There has to be forgiveness. There has to be willingness to try. Trust may come later, but two parties must work at it in order for it to work. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is a very personal situation where you, in fact, no amount of advice, can really, can really like tell you what to do.
Yeah. I think for some, it is a deal breaker, but for others, it may not be a deal breaker. And then no judgment to those that feel that they cannot live with a straying partner.
Yeah, that's
even
right.
If he only strays one time. No judgment. It's really a personal comfort level.
It's your personal threshold.
So, okay. So, since both of you have daughters, right?
Mm.
Would under what circumstances would you advise your own daughter to leave their marriage if there is a case of infidelity? Your own daughter.
Okay. So, if the husband is...
Like, what circumstances, what degree would you ever just... say to your child, "Gian lah, just leave."
Okay, if he refuses to change, if he still has connections with this other party, if he does not want to break off all ties with her, then I would tell my daughter to leave, because I mean it might just happen again. You don't want to put yourself through that. But if he truly takes steps to completely break off the, maybe move to another place, quit his job if the person is working there, think steps like this, then probably let's try, give it a try. Because if you divorce, right, a lot of other factors, like the children and all that, there's a lot of factors to consider.
Like, I see. Yeah, that's right. But I think maybe also the women, the wife herself, whether she can live with it or not.
Mm.
Because there's also no much point if she's so eaten up by it that she cannot even reconcile. And she's forcing herself to do it because of external pressures, because people expect her, because it's probably better thing to do.
As in to divorce? To divorce?
To not divorce.
To not divorce.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think, like I said, it's personal threshold.
Mm.
Yeah. For the women, for the woman. And yes, there's no judgment here.
Yeah, I mean, it's really up to the individual. And we can never advise leave or stay. That shouldn't be our
I know
advice.
Of this woman, she always go on those groups, right? And she always will advise the mummies on the group to divorce or cut off their in-laws. And it's so annoying for me, because I feel that somebody ever shared with me before that there are a few things a person should never do in their lives. He said four things, but I only remember a couple of it. And one was like, never matchmake.
Mm.
Because you don't want to be responsible for the spouse that your friend is going to marry.
Mm.
Then he also say like, don't go and tell people to divorce, because... You also cannot be responsible for all these like major decisions.
Yeah.
And there's always so many women, whenever they hear stories of other mothers sharing about my husband this, that, the first thing that they go will be like, go for it. And I will say like for the younger generation of mothers, like say for example for me, I think we are also quicker to choose a route of exit.
Mm.
Because I feel like also the days of when you are fully dependent on your husband is gone.
Mm.
And I remember like one of my very, very close friends, like she's already divorced now, and she ever said to me this. She said, if my husband is only providing me like financially, then she said, what is the point of her staying in a marriage? Because there's no emotional attachment to it.
But I think to balance it, a woman must always ask herself, what could I have done to prevent that situation from even happening in the first place?
So do you think so that a woman can actually change the narrative of whether your husband wants to cheat or not?
Definitely.
So you can control?
Yeah, like I think like what Serena said, it's marriage is a 50% thing. It's a 50-50.
Actually, okay.
Of course, yeah, okay. But 50-50 in the sense that everything depends on two people, not one person, right?
Mm.
So I think for sure, even if there is a situation where there's cheating, you know, I think the wife can still play a role to reverse that. Because the first thing must happen is, we're talking about 50-50. So if there is a cheating, definitely it's not because of just one party.
Mm.
It's definitely because something has gone wrong both sides. And it is for the wife to really reflect. And that's the reason why I think in the law of the society, usually, maybe not now anymore, they give you 3 years before you can actually file for a proper divorce. You need to be separated 3 years. Like, why? I think in all wisdom, you need time to reflect and reassess and analyze what has gone wrong before you actually call it quits. So I think that it's a very important part. The reflection is very important. And there is also no there's no such thing as only one party is wrong, right? Yeah. So anyway, life is a marriage is a journey, a very long journey, right? So
unfortunately,
too
often the woman is hurt to the point she can't reflect. Yeah.
True. Also, yeah, that is when your community comes in to support you appropriately, not telling you to divorce or not to divorce, but walking you through that journey of maybe self-discovery and healing.
Mm.
And I think that is maybe more crucial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes I've seen marriages that actually goes through a situation like that. And then the second part, when they recover from that, it's so much more meaningful and so much stronger.
Is it like Jack Neil?
Regarding this 50-50 concept, right? Actually, I beg to differ. I don't think marriage is 50-50. I think marriage on the whole is 100. So today, let's say we are a married couple. Today, you are not at your best form. You can only maybe give 20. Then I should give 80.
Yeah.
Cover that part of you that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe today you are in a bad mood. Then my 80% would be to accept you, leave you alone, give you space. You know, and then maybe tomorrow you can give maybe 70%, I give 30%.
I actually have heard this concept before,
on
TikTok, when there's this woman, she was saying that every day when they come back home first, they will say like, where are you at?
Yes.
So they see whether when they add up, right, if it's like super, like they cannot even make like a 50, right? Then they say, okay, this is the time where we both need to sit down and talk, like what's going on. But otherwise, if you are like 20 and then I'm like, okay, today, you know what, I'm feeling chirpy, I can be 80 for you, then that goes lah. So I also feel that is marriage in itself, I feel it's a very complicated relationship, because
yes.
it is the both of you, but it's also not just the both of you, and it's two person coming from two different backgrounds, and so many things can change us through the journey of like parenting lah, give birth lah, you know, because you don't know until you know, right? Like you're like, okay, I'm good with my husband, say for example. Then when I have my son, then I realize that, hey, oh my god, he's not gonna help me with this, wash my breast pump lah, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And along the way, over the years, when the children are like, say even for my eldest is like 6 years old, close to, and I'll be like, what happened to us in these 6 years? We always come to this reflection. But it would just be too easy to just bring down to this point of like, hey, if my husband cheats, it's just because we don't have emotional attachment, and also because we don't have enough sex. Because I legit can say, between even my relationship with my husband, like, he's not even driven by sex. Because he's just like constantly so tired, you know. But does it mean that he doesn't have the propensity to Cheat? Yes and no. Who knows? Maybe now he too tired lah. But right, I always tell my husband, ni, one wife not enough, man. One wife is already a troublemaker already. Why you want to have two, right? Left and right. Correct. So I feel that there is like so many layers, especially if you have children, the expectations is different. When it's just me and you.
But yet when you break it down simply, it is really just two individuals. It is really this relationship between these two individuals. Of course, yes, there's family, there's children and family background and all that. But everybody has that. But in the relationship between the two individuals, what's going on here? You know, all the noise can die down, but what's going on here? So this is the thing that you need to nurture. And it does take two hands to clap.
So
and consideration for the other party's feelings.
So my question would be, if say somebody's relationship, their marriage is going cold for whatever reason, they're not really talking, or when they talk, they are not talking nicely anymore. What would be some of the like advice that you would give? Or if it happens to you, it's happening to you now, and what would be some of the practical things that you would do to just like change the beginning of the narrative?
Yeah, I think change yourself first. For me, it has
that might make a lot of women very angry.
Okay. And I've had to reflect on all the good parts about him in order to balance out the bad. I mean, of course, nobody's perfect, but when I think about all the good things that he has and he has done, it helps me to accept him, the bad parts about him. And then you must also ask yourself, what if he never ever changes these bad parts? Then you have to resolve it with yourself, like, you know, these are certain things. Can you live with it? If you can live with it, then maybe it's okay. But if you can't live with it, talk to him about it. So communication comes in. All right, then but I think change has got to come from you. Not just between husband and wife, also between mother and child, you know?
Yeah,
change has to come from you. I say this with all humility.
What about you, Singy?
Well, I think it's a very complicated question because there can be so many
layers to it.
Layers, or so many reasons, you know, and therefore it makes marriage counseling a very difficult thing because you come not as an individual, but you come with a whole baggage, you know, of history. So I think that's really very good advice, you know, from Serena, to actually just start from yourself, because the moment you don't, or the moment you try to start with the other party, I think you will hit a roadblock because you basically have no control over the other person. Yeah. So I would also personally say that if you have issues in the marriage, I would recommend you to speak to people. Speak to people who are mature, you know, whom you think you can trust. Because I think when you talk about it, there is clarity of your thoughts, you know. But of course, go with the intention not to complain, but to find out how to, you know, do better.
Yeah, so this person has to be balanced and not take sides.
Exactly.
Neutral.
Yeah.
Because the husband also has his own journey that he's going through.
Yes, that's right.
And from his perspective, it will probably be very different from the wife's.
Yes.
I will say that it's an interesting thought, honestly speaking. If I'm going to like have this conversation with like any other like mothers out there, I think a lot of them, they will feel that they would prefer that the narrative is they are more justified, because in the perspective of a woman, we usually feel more like we are not in the wrong. I feel we have the tendency because, you know, like the women usually can micromanage a bit better, especially to the affairs of like home, children, you know. And a man's mind is more like compartmentalized to, if my children come back home from school alive, they're good. But for a mother, it's like, my son come back already. They can catch the little like non-verbal signals. And I guess this is how men and women are made so differently. And a woman is always so much more vocal towards their spouses. And I definitely agree that even myself, like myself, reflectively speaking, I also feel that I'm usually rather rude to my husband. In the case of like when I feel very impatient or when I feel like, why you cannot get this done properly. But I always believe that you cannot get married or even be together with someone and expect this somebody to change.
Yep.
So hence I truly believe that the best way forward for any marriages or for any form of relationship, even like mother and child, is always to reflect upon ourselves. How can we become better? How could we have speak in a better tone, you know, and that kind of thing. And so that's very interesting. I actually like today's recording very much because I feel that a lot of times women, respectfully I say this, we are very entitled for some reason because we are like, I sacrifice myself, I give up my career, I know I stay at home to take care of the kids, I wash the dishes. Thankfully, in my house, my husband washed the dishes lah. But I'm just saying generally, women are generally more clever when they want to be vocal about things at home and towards their husband. And hence, I feel that that also diminished a lot of respect that we could have given to our husbands. And perhaps by and by, with all this lousy conversations at home, it actually caused like this, the marriage to be cold, and year after year you realize that your husband is already with someone else. So well, I hope all of you enjoy the conversation today, and respectfully we have this conversation, we are not pointing our fingers at anyone. If you like the podcast, please subscribe, and I'll see you again for the next episode.